Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. Technically, it's yesterday's daf. And as you heard on Friday, Me'at Hashem, we're going to have another special, extraordinary daf session this evening. Me'at Hashem at 7 o'clock. So this is, we're learning daf Yud Aleph. And tonight, Me'at Hashem, we'll learn daf Yud Beis. We're holding the second line from the top of the Amud, where it says towards the end of the line, Lamed Aleph, which stands for Lishna Achrina Amrila. There's another version, because we already had Amr Yudah Mishmuel yesterday, also talking about sleeping under a kila in the sukkah. But yesterday it said, we're talking about a kila, and today we talk about a kilas chasanim. What's the difference between a kila and a kilas chasanim? So Rashi explains us, we'll go Me'achim into the Gemara, you'll see. Back in the Mishnah yesterday, on Yud Omed Aleph, we distinguish between a sukkah that has in it a bed with kinoifois or naklitin. As you know, even today, there are lots of people that sleep in the sukkah, particularly in Eretz Yisrael and in the warmer climates. So this is quite common. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us that if a person sleeps in a bed in the sukkah, that's wonderful. However, if he sleeps in a bed where they were pires al gabe hakinoif, which means they took a sheet and they spread it over four poles around the four sides of the bed, and therefore we had a canopy. In fact, one of the people on Shabbos said that the word kinoif is probably related to the word canopy in English. So you had a full-fledged canopy from all sides. It says, our Mishnah, it's psula. If you sleep in such a bed in the sukkah, you've not been mekayim your mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah. And the reason is because, Rashi said in the Mishnah, it's like an oihel betoch hasukkah. Instead of a sukkah inside a house, it's like a house inside the oihel. And therefore, it's like a house inside a sukkah. So it's as if you're sleeping in a house, you're not sleeping in a sukkah. And that's why you're not yotze. But the Mishnah said, if you want to, you can go and sleep in a bed where you're poreis al gabi naklite hamita. What a naklitim, Sarashi said in the Mishnah, means instead of having four posts on all four sides, you only have two posts. One at the head side, one at the legs, and then you had a very thin, narrow rod between the two, and on that you put up a sheet, almost like a teepee or like a triangle. So therefore there is no gag at all. It just slants down. That you're the yoitza sleeping in a sukkah, that doesn't have the status of a separate ohel or a separate house. So now our Gemara today, Lishnachrina, second line from Yud Aleph Omer Aleph, Amilo Omer Abiyudah Meshmuel, Mutter Lishon B'Kilas Chasanim B'Sukkah. You're allowed to go and sleep in a Kilas Chasanim. Kilas Chasanim means such a bed that has a canopy, which apparently was miyuchad, was set aside for newlyweds, and therefore says Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, you're allowed to go and sleep in a sukkah with such a Kilas Chasanim, Lafisha Ein Logad, because it doesn't have a roof. And therefore, explains Rashi, this is similar to the case of our Mishnah, where it's Mishupa Kishel Naklitin. You didn't have a four-post canopy on top, but you just had such a teepee type of formation where you had the two sides of the sheet coming down from the two sides of that narrow rod, which didn't even have the width of a tefach. Tefach is approximately 4 inches, so the whole rod on top was less than 4 inches, and therefore you just had sheets coming down. It's not an oyo, and you're allowed to sleep in such a kilas chasanim. Afal pishe gvoy asora, even if it's 10 tefachim tall. As we know, 10 tefachim already gives the minimum shiur of a sukkah, like we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Beis Omer Aleph. So I would think, wow, these naklitin, this kilas chasanim, that's quite tall. 10 tefachim from the ground. It should have a status like a sukkah betoch sukkah, an ol betoch sukkah. Said Reuven Mishmuel, no problem. It's kusha v'yusha. You can sleep in such a kilas chasan. Frank Yomar Meisve. We have a brisa. Hayoshin bekila besukkah lo yotzi dechay vasoi. That if you sleep inside a kila, you're not yotze because you're sleeping in an ohel inside the sukkah. So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Notice Shmuel said, Mutalishan Bekilas Chasanim. This price is talking about a Yoshin Bekila. What's the difference? Evdi Machim Ma'iskinan Kibishiyesh Lo Gag. It's talking about either that it had a full-fledged canopy with the four poles on all four sides. That for sure is an oel, particularly since it was 10 tvachim tall. Or you don't even have to say that. It could even be talking about a nakliten case, where the nakliten is only the two poles, but the rod down the middle on top wasn't just 2 or 3 inches, it was one tefach or more. And for these purposes, all you need is a gag of one tefach width, and that's already enough to give it the status of an ohel, and that's why the price says, "Lo yotzi yedei chibas." So you're not sleeping in a sukkah, you're sleeping in an ohel betoch hasukkah. Toshima. Let's have a price now that's going to explain this in somewhat more detail. Nakliten. Those are the two poles, and that, in fact, that's what the price tells us. Shnayim. Two poles, one at the head side of the bed, one at the feet side of the bed, smack in the middle, you put the rod up, you put up the canopy on top, it's only two naklit. The kinoifois arbo'o, and if you have a canopy, we're on all four sides. What's the halacha? Says the braisa, pires al gabi kinoifois psula. If you went and spread out a sheet on top of the four posts, so that you have now a full-fledged canopy on top, like a chuppah. You have a full chuppah on top, and a person sleeps in that, in the sukkah, it's posel. Posel meaning that he's not yotze, the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah or lina sukkah. Al-gabi nakliten. However, if you put this type of sheet only on two posts, so you don't have a full-fledged canopy, you just have this sloping sheet coming down from both sides, then it's kosher, which is really what we learned in the Mishnah. But now the braisa expands. Make sure that these nakliten are not removed from the height of the bed by 10 tvachim, because if they are, then this will be an ohel bifnei atzmai. After all, the minimum dimensions of a sukkah are 10 tvachim, and I have here 10 tvachim tall. So even though they're only two nakliten, we do not have a gag tefach, but if it's 10 tvachim tall, that's already enough to be mafsik between the person who's sleeping and between the schach, and he will not be yotze. Zok the Gemara, let's now be medayik from this braitza. When do I say the naklitim are kosher? When they are not gavoa min hamita asara tvachim. Ha gavoa min hamita asara tvachim? Psula. However, if they are gavoa min hamita 10 tvachim, it's possible. Afal pisha ein lo gag. Even though naklitim by definition means that there is no roof on top, the width of that middle bar, that middle rod, is less than 4 inches, less than a tefach. And nevertheless, if it's 10 tefachim high, it's possible. Let's go back to what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said on the third line. Mutter lishon bekilas chasanim besukkah, lefi she'ein lo gag, afal pishe gevoya asara, even though it's 10 tefachim tall. Rabbi, this price says that if you have nakliten, which are 10 tvachim tall, even though there's no gag, it's possible you cannot sleep in such a bed with such a nakliten on top. Is a shver on Shmuel from a befeidusha price. Everything more is shani nakliten dekvi. Nakliten are different because they are kavua. What does that mean, kavua? Apparently, these were well secured in the bed, and you do not easily dismantle it or remove it, and therefore it has a sense of permanence. The kilas chasanim that Shmuel is talking about apparently is such a makeshift situation, where Baruch Hashem, if someone's son or daughter got married, and the first night they're sleeping at home or something, so they put this kilas chasanim to have a certain degree of privacy, etc. But apparently this was not a standard thing that was there, bikfius. It was only there on a very temporary basis. Such a temporary basis, even though otherwise the two are indistinguishable. the case of Shmuel with the Kilas Chasanim, and the case of the Braisa with the Naklitin, for any amateur, they look exactly the same. It says by the Naklitin case, they're Kvi. Those are set in stone, if you will. Those are there on a regular basis. It's Kavua. Mashenka, in the case of Shmuel, is talking about a case where they're totally temporary. Ah, Zok the Braisa. If it happens to be a permanent fix, even though the Naklitin has no gag to it, because the rod's width at the top is less than a tefach. Nevertheless, since it's a kavua, and it's 10 tvachim tall, it has the status of an ohel, and it's mask. Mashenkin, according to Shmuel, since this is only a temporary type of structure, this kilas chasanim, presumably it's going to be dismantled in a day, or in a week, or whatever. Therefore, even if it happens to be 10 tvachim tall, nevertheless, what's the halacha? It is kosher, you're allowed to sleep under such a kilas chasanim. Frank Dimar, now that you've made this distinction between kavua and ainu kavua, so let's go one step further. Ikvi lehaviki kinoifos. Once you're telling me that it's kavua, it should be just like a normal situation where you have a canopy, meaning that not two poles, but four poles. And what did we say about four poles? That even if it's less than 10 tvachim from the ground, it has the status of an ohel, and it's mafsik bifnei haschach, and it's possible. Why does the Braisa say davka if it's gevoyim and amita asara psula? Even if it's less than asara, it should be possible. Because you're telling me it's kvi. Shouldn't it have the same din just like kinoifos? After the Gemara, we really have three categories. Kikinoifois, Levi Kikinoifois, so Timar, Legabi Kinoifois, Loi Kivi, Legabi Kilo Kivi. It all depends when you are taking, this is Einstein's theory of relativity, which means you're taking the Naklitan of this Braisa, which happened to be Kivi. These Naklitan of the Braisa, they do not rise to the level of Kvius as kinoifois, but they are more kavua than the kilas chasanim that Rav Yehuda or Mashmuel was talking about. The case of the kinoifois, because you have four bedposts, and you have the canopy stretched out over these four, even if they are not kvi, because of the fact that it's a four-poled canopy, it has the status of a gag, an oyel, it's an oyel inside the sukkah, it's mafsik between the person who's sleeping in that bed and the schach on top, and therefore it's possible, not the sense that the sukkah is possible, but he cannot sleep there, he's not yoitz in the mitzvah of sleeping in a sukkah if he sleeps under a canopy. The naklitin that we're talking about, since they happen to be kvi'i, if they happen to be 10 tvachim tall, then it's taka possible. If it's less than 10 tvachim, then it's okay, you can sleep under such a naklitin. The case of kilas chasanim, because it's not kvi, because this is just a temporary fix, even if it's lamala mi'asara tvachim, you're allowed to sleep the l'chadchila, according to Rav Shmuel, because of the fact that it certainly doesn't have the status of an oel. Anybody seeing it, everybody understanding how it was constructed with this just very temporary two poles, just for the sake of the Chusin Kala, realizes that, you know, by tomorrow, by next week, they're going to take this down, says Gornish, and therefore the halacha is that even if it's more than 10 tvachim, says Rav Yonah Mishmuel, muta lishin b'saychem. So, to more about it. Dorish Rabba Baravuna, muta lishin b'kilo, afo pishin yesh lagag, afo pishin gvoya asara. Rabba Baravuna comes up with a brand new chidush, which is different than everything that we've been learning until now, and says you're allowed to sleep in a kila, not a kila's chasanim. In a kila, what's the difference between a kila and a kila chasanim? So we already explained before, a kila has four posts, and therefore it's just like the case of the kinoifois, which our Mishnah said, you're not allowed to sleep in on, so not that you're not allowed to, but that you're not mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva or lina sukkah, if you're sleeping in such a sukkah, because it's an ohel betocha sukkah. So therefore, our Mishnah says, you sleep in kinoifois, you're not yoitza. However, Rav Huna darshan, mutalishan bekili, you're allowed to sleep, even though it has kilet has the kinofos, the four bedposts. Aval b'shiyesh l'gag, and by definition it has a gag of more than a tefach. Presumably it has 5, 10, 20 tefachim. The width of the bed, presumably, is similar to the width of the kinofos above. And aval b'shiyesh, even if it's more than 10 tefachim. How can that be? L'chayr, that's going against our Mishnah. It goes against everything we've been saying for this morning and yesterday's blot. Every more command can be heard. L'chayr, it goes like a Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? The Omar. Li'osi oyel aroi umevatel oyel keva. After all, the sukkah has the status of an oyel keva, even though it's only for 7 days, and this temporary canopy on top, it, no matter how often you put it up, and even if you leave it there, but it's still, you cannot compare the canopy over a bed to schach over a sukkah. Schach over a sukkah, by definition, has more of a status than oyel keva. Now you're going to say to yourselves, why does the Gemara call the outside sukkah an oil kibah? Didn't we say back on Dav Beis Amid Aleph that Rava said one of the three reasons that a sukkah cannot be taller than 20 amos is because once it becomes taller than 20 amos, it becomes an oil kibah. And we want it to be an oil arroi. And yet Rav Yehuda refers to this as an oil kibah. Well, this is Mishnah Zoi Shver, Rabbi Isai. The reason why it's not so Shver is because, remember, in our first Mishnah, we had a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda said that even if the sukkah happens to be 20 amos and higher and taller, even if it's 40 or 50 amos, it's kosher for a sukkah. And based on that, back on Dav Zayin Amid Beis, you'll remember the Amar Abaya, a whole slew of Tanoim, said Abaya, Rebbe and Rabbi Yoshe and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Shammai, all of them hold that sukkah diras keva ba'inan. That in fact, for purposes of the sukkah, you need a diras keva. And the Gemara said, how do I know Rabbi Yehuda? Did not, like we learned on Daf Beis Amid Aleph, that sukkah she gavoy l'mal mechof amma is psula. Why? Because it's got to be a diras keva, or roy to be a diras keva. Ah, so I see that Rabbi Yehuda goes with the svara that a sukkah has the status of an oil keva. That being the case, says the Gemara, even if you have a full-fledged kila, shiyesh lo gag, it's gevoya asara, which the Chayra, our Mishnah says, is possible, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's kosher, because relative to the oil keva of the sukkah, this is only an ohel arohi. Then not like we know in the Mishnah, Om Rabbi Yehuda. There's a Mishnah we're going to have in Mir Tashem in another few days. It says in the Mishnah, Nihagen hoyin alishon tachas amita b'fnei hazakenim. We would go and sleep under the bed. Presumably there weren't enough beds in the sukkah, and therefore there wasn't enough room. And I remember when I was a yeshiva bacher, oh, that was a couple of years ago, and I was in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and Baruch Hashem, the weather was very comfortable, very warm at night. We had a special sleeping sukkah, and the sleeping sukkah was for the bachram and the yeshiva. We had at least, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 beds in the sukkah, maybe more. One next to each other. There was a little difficulty in getting in and out, but the point was, it was just a sleeping sukkah full of beds. Now, what happens if you don't have enough beds for everybody? So apparently Rabbi Yehuda was telling us, so some of us would sleep underneath the bed. You don't have a bed, you sleep under the bed. B'tnei Askenim and Askenim were there, and they said, and they didn't say a peep or a murmur, they allowed us to do that. Now, says the Gemara, what do I see from that Mishnah? That Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though I'm sleeping under a bed, and a bed compared to a sukkah, if you will, is like an ohel arroi, compared to the oil keva, the oil keva of the sukkah. So you see, that's mutter. So therefore, says our Gemara, Omer Doresh Rabba Barafuna, I hold like the Shittas of Yehuda, that you can even sleep in a bed that has a kila, mita gag, mita saratvachim, because it's no better, no worse than sleeping under the bed. Frank Gemara, if that's the basis of Rabba Barafuna's halacha, then why did he have to go and come up with a brand new case of Lishon Bekila? Let him just go and say, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, that says that you can sleep under a mita. If you would say, a pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda, asuya. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda's halacha is exclusively by sleeping, in a case of sleeping under a sukkah. Under a mita. Why would that be the case? Because after all, mita l'gaboch asuya. Everybody knows that a bed is designed to sleep on top of the bed, not to sleep under a bed. So a person who's sleeping under a bed, that's not a normal way of using a bed. And therefore, says Rashi, that's why a person who's sleeping under the bed is not like he's sleeping under an oil. Nobody looks upon the bed as an oil, because normally you don't sleep under a bed, only, I guess, under very tight circumstances. And therefore, says the Gemara, I would attribute that as the reason for Rabbi Yehuda. It's like a shasat chak situation. A bed is not meant to sleep under, it's meant to sleep over. So if you have a person who sleeps under the bed, okay, nishkeferlach, we're not going to throw him out. Avakila del toicha, so clearly akila is meant for people to sleep on top of the bed, underneath this canopy, and therefore that's the way it's constructed. So maybe here it'd have a din of an ohel. Particularly since Rabbi Ravuna is saying, we're talking about that it did have a gag, and it was 10 tvachim tall. No, I have an oil. And Malois, I would think that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would distinguish between sleeping under a bed or sleeping in a bed under this kilo canopy. Kamash Malon. That's why Rabbi Ravuna has to go and tell us, Nein Rabbi Yisai, time that Rabbi Yehuda doi osi oil aroi mavatal oil keva. Loishna mita, loishna kila. It makes no difference. As long as you have a good sukkah, you can go and sleep under a bed, inside a bed, mita kila, on a kila, because this is an oil kema, and all the other things are just oihel aroi. Okay, Zot Mishnah. This Mishnah, as you'll recall, we learned 2 days ago in the Gemara, so therefore it's really a chazara. Says the Mishnah, Hidla olel es hagefen v'es hadalas v'es hakisois v'sikech al gabo psula. What happens if a person went and took the easy way out in terms of putting the schach on top of his sukkah? What was the easy way out? Instead of going and cutting down a whole bunch of bamboo sticks or branches or paying for them, what he did was he built his sukkah right next to a vineyard, and he had the vines of the vineyard. He extended them. The word hidla, Rashi said before, means to harem. He picked them up and he let them hang over the top of the sukkah. Or v'esadlas, vines of a gourd patch. And some say that these vines are all called a trellis, regardless, whatever you want to call them, but you put them on top of the sukkah to act as schach. V'yasa kisus. Kisus is ivy, like the type that grows on the outside of buildings. We mentioned last time, corner of 91st and West End Avenue, you have a beautiful example of ivy growing up the sides of the building. So you took all of these and you put them on top of your sukkah to form schach, v'sikech al-ga'an, period. These are all non-kosher schachs. The reason why it's all non-kosher schach, because the halach of schach is it's got to be tolush and not mechubar. And by definition, all of these three are connected to the ground, and therefore they're possible. Says the Mishnah, v'zika chalgava, even if you were to add kosher schach on top of them, it would still remain psul, still be possible. However, says the Mishnah, I'll give you 2 exceptions. Number one, Nimho Yesikuch Harbe Mehen. If you had more kosher schach than you had the non-kosher schach of the Geffen, Dalas, and Kisus. Or, Oishikotzitzan, someone took a knife or a sherer, a scissors, and cut the vines and cut the ivy so that they're no longer machover. Sherer! Now it's all kosher. Everything is great. Now, about the first case, about the schach being greater than the amount of the non-kosher schach, that we already spoke about in the Gemara 2 days ago, it's dafk in a case where choftan, Rashi said, means hishpil. He pushed them down so that now they looked indistinguishable from the kosher schach. And since the kosher schach was the roif, and this non-kosher schach was the miut, then the miut became bottle and the roiv. You couldn't distinguish between the two. It's min the minoi, if you will, and therefore it takes over the status of the kosher schach, and it becomes one, and it becomes kosher. However, we didn't explain the second case. The second case is kotzitzon. Now, there's not much to explain by kotzitzon. You cut it, and therefore everything is kosher. And it's only problematic when it's mechuber. Here we're talking about that it's no longer mechuber, you cut it. But as we'll see in the Gemara, that is not so simple because of the halacha of tas v'loy mina osui. What does that mean? We'll see mentioned in the Gemara in another moment. And the Mishnah concludes. This is a little bit of a rarity in terms of the text of the Mishnah, because usually when the Mishnah says zeh haklal, the Mishnah is referring back to laws or cases, and then saying this is the general rule. And this general rule really doesn't apply specifically to what we were talking about until now. It just tells us generally that kol shu mekabel tuma, on the side it says kol dover shu mekabel tuma, anything that can be mekabel tuma, not that it's tummy, but it can be mekabel tuma. The ein gedule min ha'aretz, and it doesn't grow from the ground, ein mesach gambo, you cannot use for schach. The kol dover shu ein mekabel tuma, anything which does not cannot be mekabel tuma, the gidulei min ha'aretz, and it grows from the ground, mesachin boy, you can use for schach. So that's why, for instance, we use bamboo sticks, or we use unrefined branches from the tree and leaves from the tree. Number one, it's gidulei min ha'aretz, it grew from the ground, and number two, it's not mekabel tuma because this is not a kli. And this is not a beged, it's not a person. You have to fall into one of those categories of mekabel tuma. A person is mekabel tuma, an animal, for instance, is not mekabel tuma. A beged is mekabel tuma, something which is a kli is mekabel tuma. Something which is a golem kli, it's not a full-fledged kli yet, is not mekabel tuma. These branches, you might ultimately use them for lumber if you decided to go and remove the bark and smoothen them out and use a plane to make it nice and fitting in terms of size and shape for construction. Yeah, that's a different story. But here we're talking about a situation where these things cannot be used at the moment for construction the way they are, and that wasn't his intention. It's not mekabel tuma, and therefore you can use eschach. Many people today buy, you can go to people that sell bamboo mats, where you have much thinner bamboos, not the very large bamboos that we used to have in yesteryear and that many people still have, but you can go and buy now these bamboo mats, which are all stitched together very nicely. Years ago, the Rabbanim would not allow you to buy the bamboo mats. Today, you can buy it if it has a hechsher on it. So you're wondering, why years ago couldn't you buy it, and today if it has a hechsher, you can buy it? And the answer is very simply, because years ago when they made these bamboo mats, they intended them to be rugs in a home, part of the furnishings. Those people that like to have that type of rug, instead of having a fancy Persian carpet, they like to have bamboo mats. So that's fine, you know, everybody has their preferences. But then, if it's like furniture, it has a din of Kabbalah's Tumah, it's a kli. However, if they're manufactured with a hechsher, that means they're manufactured for the purpose of a sukkah, not for the purpose of a furnishing at home. Ah! So in other words, you never intend using these for furniture or any other purpose. You only intend using it for the top of a sukkah. So then it doesn't get the status of a kli, and it remains a double she'enay mekabel tuma, the giduloi min ha'aretz, and mesachim bo, you can use for sach. Anyway, getting to the Gemara. Yosef, Rav Yosef, kameid Rav Huna, v'yosef ekama. Rav Yosef said the following halach in the name of Rav Huna. Remember these names because they'll become important short term over the next few lines. So Rav Yosef said before Rav Huna, V'yosef ekama, and he said the following, Oy shekotzitzon kesheira. In our Mishnah, as we learned, that if you initially put on the vines or trellises of the from the vineyard or from the glass or the ivy, what did Rav Yosef say? Kusha, if you cut the sun, if you cut them, then it's kosher, because it's no longer mechubah lekarka. Okay, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. But now Rav Yosef adds, V'yomer Rav tzarech l'naneya. After you cut them, you have to give them a shakel. Giving them a shakel means that you go to the top of the sukkah, stand on a ladder, stand on a chair, go to the top of the sukkah, and you take every one of these vines or trellises, and you just pick it up a little bit and put it down again. So it's as if you are now placing them on top of the sukkah. What's going on? Why do you have to go and shuckle them? What is this inyan? The inyan is because it says in the pasuk that tasa shivas yom tasa sukkos. You have to go and make sukkos, and if you have to make a sukkah, that's a lotion of tasa. And the Gemara darshins v'loy min ha'osui. V'loy min ha'osui means that when you initially make the sukkah, you have to make it a kosher sukkah, and not start off with a non-kosher sukkah, and then try to go and kasher it and make it kosher. And therefore what our Gemara is telling us is that if you cut the trellises and the vines and the ivy before you put them on the sukkah, that's perfect. You made a sukkah with kosher schach. But if you initially put on non-kosher schach, and while it's there, then you cut it, then you're kashering something that initially was non-kosher. And the Gemara says that that's possible because of this rule of ta'asa, that you have to make it bekashrus. V'loy min ha'asi, not something that is a pre-existing sukkah made bepsul that you're trying to now kasher. Oh, you want to kasher it? So the best would be go and cut them, remove them all from the top of the sukkah and put them all back. Says Rab, nah, you don't have to go that far. All you have to do is really give a shakel. The nanei means to shakel something. And therefore, Rashi says, you go and pick them up and you put them down again. And therefore, that shows that you're now making an asiya. It's as if you're putting it on the sukkah now, l'chadchila, and therefore it's kosher. We're going to talk about this more in another moment. But in the meantime, this is what Rav Yosef said before Rav Huna. Amalei Rav Huna. Rav Huna raised his hand and he said, Rebbe, ha Shmuel Amra. This halacha was said by Shmuel. Now he didn't say Shmuel and not Rav, or Shmuel and Rav. He just said Shmuel. And Rav Yosef le'ape. Rav Yosef now turned his head in the other direction. Rashi said because he was upset at Rav Huna for disturbing him in the middle of the shir and correcting him. The Amalei, and he says to him, Otu mikamina loch play Amra Shmuel. Did I say Rav exclusively to exclude Shmuel? No! Amra Rav, the Amra Shmuel. Both Rav said the halacha, and you're saying that Shmuel said, Gizantite. Shmuel also said the halacha. Fine. That was not a correction that you had to make. Amalei Ravuna, Ravuna said, I'm sorry, Rabbi. What I meant to say was, the Shmuel Amr V'loi Rav. In fact, only Shmuel said it, and not Rav. Now, it's not surprising that Rav Yosef may have had that slip, because as we know from other Gemaras, particularly the Sof Yomav, Rav Yosef unfortunately began forgetting a lot of his learning. Very often it was Abaye that reminded him, and he says, Rebbe, this is what you taught us years ago, and remember, etc. So it could be that that is within the same type of situation. But bottom line is, says now Rav Huna to Rav Yosef, it wasn't Rav that said that it's kosh, that tzarech l'naneya, it was Shmuel. Why did Rav achshuri mechshir? Because in fact, Rav said, all you have to do is do the cutting, and then you leave the vines on top. You do not have to shuckle them. They are kosher the way they are. Now, didn't we say that there's a din of tasav alemina asoi, that you cannot go and try to kasher something that was previously non-kosher by giving it, unless you go and give it a shakel? And yet Rav says it's kosher. What's pshat? So Rashi says, that Rav, of course, agrees that there's a loch of tasav alemina asoi. However, he says that tasav alemina asoi is talking about a case where you started off with a godish. A godish means like a haystack, and you're trying to find the needle in the middle of the haystack, or even if you're not trying to find the needle. But what you did do was, you want to convert this haystack into a temporary sukkah. So what do? You go and take a shovel or something else, or just your hands, and you start digging out a passageway, a doorway, into this large haystack. This is a large haystack, it has to be at least 10 tvachim from the ground. Let's make it 20 tvachim from the ground. Nice and tall haystack. And he worked on this for a little while, carving out and pulling out a lot of the hay so that he should be able to go and sit inside that haystack with a chair and with a table to have at least a space of 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim, like Beis Shammai says. And now he has a kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara, no. It's not a kosher sukkah. Why? Because he's not even putting the schach on top. You know what he's doing? He's leaving the hay from the existing haystack, and he's not touching it, he's not moving it. That is tassel, because of tassel lemna osri. He didn't go and put together four walls with hay on top of it with schach, but rather he took a non-kosher haystack. Non-kosher in the sense that there is no space in the middle to go and sit there, and therefore he's now trying to carve out a brand new sukkah. If you want to sit in such a sukkah, that's fine, but you're going to have to dismantle to a certain degree the hay at the top, do at least a minaneya, at least shuckle it back and forth, and then it would be kosher. But Rav said it's not necessary, so that's the case of the haystack, where even Rav agrees that Tassav Limna Osi would passel such a sukkah. But in our case, where the person went and took the ivy or the trellises and put on the top of the sukkah, and then he cut it, the Gemara is going to say shortly, Rav holds psikoson zuhi asiyoson, or kitzitzoson zuhi asiyoson, that the cutting now, that is the tase. Don't look at the sukkah with a non-kosher schach on top. I didn't finish yet, Rabbi Isai. You know the Yiddish expression, anar weisman ish kahal ba'arbet. A person who's a fool, you don't show him half of a job. You take a person to a construction site and only half of the building has been constructed, and the fool says, ah, come on, you can't live in a place like that. There's a hole, it doesn't have a roof, it doesn't have piping, it doesn't have plumbing, it doesn't have electricity. Just come back in a month from now and you'll see what it looks like. We have a painter painting a picture. He's in the middle, he's put the background and he's in the middle of painting. He hasn't finished yet. Yeah, it looks terrible. Then after you come back a week later, the painting is gorgeous. So, and now Weissman is kahal ba'arvet. And therefore Rav says the same thing. Don't look when I have the trellises still mechuber. We're not finished yet. After I put the trellises and I put the ivy on top, I'm going to go and cut it. That's going to be my asiya. That will be my tasa of lemon. Also, and I'll be kosher with that. So you have a machlok between Rav and Shmuel. And in fact, the Gemara brings a rai that that's what Rav holds. Ki hadar of Amram Chasida, a person by the name of Reb Amram HaChosid, Romat Chelta LePrizuma the Inchi Beisei. He would go and put tzitzis on, tchelis tzitzis, on the Prizuma, on the begodim, on the clothing, the Inchi Beisei, even of his wife, even of the lady folk. In other words, Reb Amram Chasid's wife and daughters wore tzitzis. Why did they wear tzitzis? After all, it's a mitzvah seishas man grama, because the pasuk says urim isim oisoi. When do you see it? If it's during the day, at night you can't see, and therefore you're potter min hatzitzis. Rabbi Amram Chasida said we learn from ur isim oisoi prat leksus suma, that chas v'sholom, if you have a person who's blind, he cannot see, he's potter min hatzitzis. However, women are mechuyim b'tzitzis, because he held that tzitzis is a 24-hour mitzvah. Okay, but what did Rav Amram Chasida do? Tolon v'lo pasak roshei chutin shelehem. What he did was something very, very interesting. Instead of the way we make tzitzis, how do we ever do tzitzis? Some of you probably have never put tzitzis together before, but if you wanted to, you can go and buy in the Sfarim stores where they sell the tzitzis. You can buy a beged, and you can buy separate tzitzis, and you take four long strands. You go and push them through the hole in the at the edge of the end of your tzitzis, of your talus cotton. You put the four in, and then you make the two that should be exactly the same length, and then you make a knot and another knot, and then you start with. And you do the windings around, and then you go and do another double knot, and another few windings, etc., etc., as you know. What the tzitzis look like. However, the way of Amram Chasida did it a very interesting way. He took a very, very, very long string, and he doubled it over, and then he quadrupled it over, and then he inserted it inside the hole at the bottom of the talus, and therefore he had sticking out now one long, long string, which of course was doubled over, and you had loops as a result of taking that long string and doubling it and quadrupling it and putting through the hole. And if you look at the art scroll and other Svarim have pictures, which it would be helpful to visualize it. So you have three loops coming out, and then you have the two dangling strings. And then what he could have done would be to go and cut it right away, and then everybody would hold that it would be kosher, no problem. But you know what he did instead? He took one of those two hanging strings, and he made the ksharim with it, and he did the windings around it, and now at the end, we have eight, what could be eight, sticking out at the end, but you don't have eight, because you really have three loops and two hanging strings. So what did he do after he finished all of the knots and all of the windings? Now he cut it. Question is that kosher or not? Says Yimar, Tolan, he put the tzitzis in, v'lo pasek rashi chutin shelhen, and he didn't cut the ends of the strings, but rather he did one long string with the loops. Also the comment of Chiyah Barashi, Omalei, hachi omer rav, nifsikon vein kshayr. You can go and cut it right now and it'll be kosher. Why? Why don't they have a problem with tasa v'leim and osui? You have to go and vasu lehem tzitzis. Also it says, ulta lashon of asiyah. So I should go and say that initially when you put it through, and oh, cut it then after you put it through, fine. But not after you make them into full-fledged tzitzis, because now it'll be a tassel and an osi. Only now you're going to go and take what was until now posel, because you have to have eight strings. And now you're going to go and cut it. So isn't that a tassel? No, Rav said it's kosher. Nitzikim ain't shaded. Alma, what do we see? Psikosan zu yasiyosan. You know when the moment of asiyah is? Not when you string them through the hole. Not when you make your first kesher. But only when you finish with everything and now you cut it at the final moment. That gemar malocha, that final makib patish, does is the asiyah and that makes it kosher. Hachanami, the same thing regarding the schach. Even though you started off with non-kosher schach, with ivy and the trellises which were connected to the ground, it doesn't make a difference. When I cut it, that will be the asiyah and that will be kosher. So Kimura, the Savar Shmuel lo yaminan psikasan zu yasiyasan. The reason why Shmuel said by the schach that tzorach l'naneya you got a chocolate bath and back and forth, because both by tzitzis as well as by the schach, he holds that if you cut it at the end, gunish vet, it'll be possible because of the din of tas of luminosity. Frank Timor, is that what Shmuel really holds? Vatani Shmuel Misham Rabchia, hitl shnei kronis v'bas achas, v'yachkach posig rashi chutin shalahen ksheirin. We had a similar case to Rav, this case of our Amram Chasida, this case is even more difficult to imagine in the sense that you took the long string that we were talking about before, double now the length of that string. Again, he doubled it over and quadrupled it over. And now he put it through one hole of the kanaf of the end of the talis. And before he did anything else, he continued taking the bent, the folded over string, and now he strung it through a second kanaf, the one that was parallel to it on the begid, and again, the art scroll has a nice picture, and now you have these bent over looped strings connecting two kenafos together. Oy, 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 what am I going to do now? Said Shmuel Mishum Rav Chia, Hitl Shnei Kronos V'Bas Achas, V'Yachav Pasag Rashi Chutin Shulhan, and after that he cut the Rashi Chutim to now to separate one kana from the other and to cut through the loops. Kishayrin. And the Gemara says, my love, aren't we talking about a case like we said before? Shekosher, that first he makes all of the ksharim, all of the ties, and after that he does all of the windings, and only after that is he posek. Like the case of Amram Chasida, that they said in the name of Rav, Nitzikon Dein Ksheirin. If that's the case, I have now a steer of Shmuel on Shmuel. Rav Huna quoted Shmuel as saying that in the case of our Mishnah, you have a problem of Tasa V'lemina Osui, and that's why after you cut them, you have to be Minaneya. And here Shmuel would seem to hold exactly like Rav, that Psikos and Zuyasiyasan, even though everything was made B'psul until now, you cut it at the end and it works. So what do you have to be mananea by the schach of the sukkah? Says Yimor Eloi. No, that's not was the case. When Shmuel said it's kosher, shepoisek v'yachkach kosher, that he first, what after he put the strings through the two holes of the two different kenafos, the two different corners, instead of allowing for the ksharim, he said, no, wait a moment, don't even think about making any ties, don't start your windings, chas v'shalom, don't do that, be posek right now, the achkach kosher, and only after that do the ksharim, so that when you're starting with your ksharim, the ties and the windings, by that time it was already kosher tzitzis, it was no longer attached one to the other. We had eight separate strings and everything was great. Once you're telling me that he went, that right after he inserted the strings in each kanaf, that right after that, before he continued on, he cut it. So what's the chiddush? There's a davar pashut. The Gemara assumes that putting, that the inserting of the strands through the hole is not the asiya. The asiya only starts from the point where you start making your ksharim and your windings. So if you want to the same, I would think, but inan konaf pishas psil baleka. It says, after all, in the pasuk, the nosal al tzitzis ha konaf. Konaf is singular. If I'm going to go and put in tzitzis and two konafis together, maybe I'm violating this requirement of konaf singular, and therefore maybe it should pasul it. But in konaf b'shas psil, b'shas psil means at the time of inserting the strands through the holes. V'leka, and I don't have one konaf, I have two konafayim. Kamash mulan, that's why the Shmuel has to tell us, no, that's not a problem. The stringing and putting it through the hole is not an issue. The issue only begins after, when you come to the time of the ksharim and the windings. So, does somebody have a question? Okay, hearing none. Kamash mulan. Somebody... please mute yourself, somebody, there's some noise in the background. Komashma. Okay, Frankly, one may say, let me ask you a kasha. We're going to ask a series of kashas on Rav. What happens if you put the tzitzis through the holes? And you didn't cut them. You didn't cut the Rashi Chutin Shalehen. You didn't cut these loops. What's Allah? It's possible. My la psulin, it sounds like it's permanently possible. And Rav said, no. You can go make your ksharim, your ties, and your windings. Just make sure to go and cut it at the end. Here it says it's possible. Isn't it possible? The oilam? Utsyuf the derav. Amlech rav? No. My psulin. It's temporarily possible. Psulin achi yipsiku. Make sure at the end you cut them. But once you cut them, it's kosher. Ushmul amen. No. If you inserted the tzitzis as one long string, which you doubled over and quadrupled, and now only at the end, after the ksharim, and after the windings, now you cut it, psuli oilam, it's possible forever! Unless, of course, you were to take out the tzitzis and start from scratch. V'chein amal lady said the same thing, psuli oilam. V'chein amal ramasna amal shmul, psuli oilam. Ikri amri, some said about ramasna, not that he said amal ramasna amal shmul, but ikri amri amal ramasna b'didi avi uvda. I had this very situation. It's possible forever. Don't make such funny stuff of doubling over and quadrupling. Cut it into separate strands initially. So you see, that's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds it's not possible. Oilam, you can fix it by cutting it. Shmuel says, no. It's a possible mishum tas of oilam and osik. Frank, you want to make you have a brisa tolon if you put them through the holes. Viachekach pasak rashi chutin shalehen, and after that you were mafsik, you cut the rashi chutin. It remains possible. It's psulin. The only time you got me sukkah, have the same thing. You got me sukkah. Tas of oilam and osui mikan omru. Hidle oleo esakef v'esadlas v'esakisus. If you went and put on the trellises and the ivy on top, v'sichach al gabon, and you put the schach on top, it's possible. Oh, it's possible. Mishim tas v'leim anosri. So now we have two parts of this brisa. The first part of the brisa is talking about tzitzis. Second part, gabi sukkah. And first, the Gemara is going to ask Akash on Rav from the second part. From the sukkah. What does it say? You put on the ivy and you put the trellises, and you, even though you put kosher schach afterwards, it's possible. So, Frank Timur Hekidami, what's the case? Eiling b'shalei katzasan, that he didn't cut the schach My iri mishum tassel in an ose. Take the glade the mechubar in the new. You know, the reason why it's possible is because it's mechub lekarka. Forget about tassel in an ose. Avad it's not kosh. El bishakotzitzan. Must be talking that he did cut it. And nevertheless, with Tani Psul, it says that it remains possible. Why is it possible? After all, according to Rav, it's not a problem. Ktitzasan zui asiyasan. At the moment that he cuts it, now he finished putting on the schach on top, and now it should be kosher. And it says that it's possible. Ushmami nodali amrinan ktitzasan zui asiyasan utiyufta de Rav. Omlach Rav ochamay iskinan dishal finu shalufi. To loy minkra asiya ditu, says Rav, really mitzad din Torah, it's kosher. You know why the Braisa said that it's possible? Midrabanan. Why is it possible midrabanan? Because he didn't go and cut it with a knife or with a scissors, but instead, you know what he did? Shalfuni shalufi. He went and pulled on the ivy, and he pulled on the trellises, so that the inner part of it was totally detached. However, the outer shell was still out there, and therefore a person who didn't know that he pulled it out, it looked like it was still mechuber. But the truth of the matter is, just wait a little time, a wind or two or whatever, and you'll see the whole thing, the ivy and the trellises are going to fall out of their outer shells, because it was not really connected. And it could be that shalfinu shlufi, etymologically, it could be that this word is related to the word schlepping that you have in Yiddish or in German. That he schlepped out, instead of cutting the ivy or the trellis, he schlepped it so that he pulled on it. And as Rashi says, it's still attached from the outside, but it's no longer attached from the inside. In other words, the appearance is that it has not been cut because of the outside shell still covering it, but anybody that participated know, oy, how much I had to go and pull with all of my might to go and schlep it out. So it really was detached, but you couldn't tell. Now, because of the fact you couldn't tell, we have a Maris Ayin situation that people are going to assume, oh, Yankel, the Grace Erlechida, the Grace Tzadik, he made a schach with Mechubar, and therefore that's why Midrabanan, it's possible. Aha, okay. So we've ended that kasha from the Sukkah. But let's go back to the first case.
Also, because it's Meruba, they're Meruba out of the Schach Kasher, as we said before, that he had to mix them together.
If you go back to the Mishnah once again, the Mishnah says that if you put on Hidles a Geffen, Vesa Delas, Vesa Kisus, what's the Loch of the Sikha Chalgaban is Psula. That was the Lashon HaMishnah, and the Brice is just quoting the Lashon HaMishnah verbatim. The Mishnah continues on. However, if you put a lot, tons of schach on top of it, so that the kosher schach is kosher, is rove, and the posel schach is the miut, or katzitzan, then it's ksheder. The Brice doesn't quote those two exceptions to the rule. So the Brice, when it talks about sikach agavim, it's talking about the kosher schach was less than rove. Not more than rov, less than rov. And, or remember, we have the requirement that our papa said a couple of days ago, that it's got big bishachofton, that he pushed it down, so that it became mu'urov, it became like one large chulent of the non-kosher and the kosher schach. Therefore, since it's rov against the miut, and you couldn't tell, then it's kosher. But we don't have those two cases now. We're now talking about the reisha, where he was not chofton, and he did not have rove of kosher schach, so what he had to do, he had to go and cut it. That the Mishnah says, if you cut it, it's kosher. But on that, we had the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, is cutting enough, or do you have to be menaneya because of the tasa b'lo mena osri? And that's what the Gemara is asking now. Says the Gemara, we assume that it's talking about a case that cut his son, that he did cut it. Because otherwise, of course it's going to be possible. It says in the Mishnah, tasa b'lo mena osri. If he didn't cut it, it's possible because it's mechuber, not because of tasa b'lo mena osri. Elamai must be talking about katzitzan. And still says that it's possible. So don't I see from this ktsitzasan that we do not say ktsitzasan du yasi osan, but rather we hold like Shmuel that it's possible because of tasa b'lo mena osri. Says Rav, no, it's talking in fact loy katzitzan, but rather he was shalfinu shalufi. So lemaisa, it's not mechuber, but it's not nikur asiya did who, and that's the reason why we say that it is not kosher because of the fact of a maris ayin. In fact, the Tosis asks, then why does it start off the Braisa by saying, Voitanya Gabi Sukkah Otasim, and also it should go and say, Voitanya Gabi Sukkah Maris Ayin, because it's not Tathlim and also. In fact, according to Rav, Minator, it's totally kosher. It's only because of Maris Ayin. So, Ayin, the Torah Tosis has two truths. But continuing on the Gemara, Mikol Mokim Freyti Gemara, let's go back to the ratio of the Braisa. What does it say? Tolon V'yach Kach Posak. That if you went and put the tzitzis on, in other words, you inserted them through the holes, and then you went and pasik rosh yichutin shalahan, it says that it's posel. Now why would it be posel? According to Rav, you could even cut the rosh yichutin at the very end, after you made the ksharim, and after you made the windings, and as long as you're poisik, pesikosan zuhui asiyasan. And here it says in the braisa that it's posel. Kasha l'Rav. See more kasha. Sistak is shver. On Rav. The Gemara doesn't say Tiyuft, it says Kasha. And in fact, the Gemara itself holds that it's not such a terrible Kasha. Why not? Because let me get an eye. Let's say that the machloikim between Rav and Shmuel, whether our case constitutes a Tas of Lim and Osi case, the Pasal or not. So now, if the Gemara would have felt that Rav is totally rejected, we wouldn't say now, let's say that there's a machloikim Tanoi. So apparently, the Gemara itself felt Nishkeferlich. So you say, what do you mean, Nishkeferlich? I have a price against Rav. But I have a machloikas tanoim. So Rav will hold like the other Tana. What is this machloikas tanoim? So now we have a third scenario of a case of Tas v'leim and Osi. And here we're talking about Hadassim. Hadassim, as you know, is one of the four minim that we use on Sukkis. And the Hadassim, if you go to the farm, or if you go to nowadays, many people, most people, I think, buy hadassim in these nice cellophanes with a heksher on it. So you don't have to do too much time choosing and looking. Years and years ago, you used to go, and some people still do, go and buy the hadassim when they are not prepackaged. And you have to usually go through 100 hadassim to find three kosher ones, which are meshulish all the way up and down, and lankusha, mahadrin, etc. Sometimes you find on the hadassim, and sometimes you find on the arovois, little growths on the leaves, which look like small little berries. If you only have one here and one there, it's okay. However, if you have anovav merubin me'alav, that means you have more berries than you have alim, than you have these the leaves, then it's possible. Why? Because it's called menumar. Menumar means it's like speckled. And therefore, it's not hodor, and we learn from pre-Eitz Hodor that all the Arba Minim have to be hodor. Now, what you can do, this is not fatal, before Yom Tov, you can go and cut these berries away, so that you have more alim than berries, and it looks very nice, it looks very pretty, and you can use it. That's not a problem. However, the Mishnah later on is going to tell us, on Daf Lamed Beis, but you're now going to remove them on Yom Tov itself, because if you remove those berries on Yom Tov, you have a problem of tikkun mona, which is the Rabbanon, not the Araisa, but nevertheless, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, so now, what happens if a person forgot, and now it's Sukkot morning, and he takes out his Hadassim or his Arovos, and he says, oh no, look at all those berries! I'm going to have to bury my head in sand, I'm going to be so shamed, so embarrassed, because people are going to tell me that these are not kosher Hadassim. So can you take them off now? You're not allowed to take them off. It's Tikkun Mana. However, what happens if you took them off? Leme ketanoi of velikdan posel the Reb Shimon bar Yitzchak, it's posel even b'diavad. V'chom machshir necham, say it's kosher. Now, what's the basis of the machlokes? So, v'ruda kol yalma lulav tzorech agat, that everybody holds that lulav is required to be tied together in a bundle. As you know, we tie together a lulav together with hadassim and arovos. That's the common meaning today, because that's the halacha. However, in the times of Chazal, it was a machlokes. Not everybody held that way. Some held that you can go, just like the esrig is not attached to the lulav, so then the hadassim and arovos also don't have to be attached. You can go and hold all four of them loosely in your hand. Our Gemara says, at least initially, that kulyam, everybody holds lulav tzorech agad. And since lulav tzorech agad, that means you have to do an asiya. Asiya meaning that you have to go and tie them into a bundle together. And we learn lulav from sukkah, and the same thing applies to lulav. How do I learn it, says Rashi? Not with any kal v'chomer or gzeir shava, but with a mamatzinu. since I know that Sukkah is a din on Yontif, and the Araminim is a din on Yontif, just like by Sukkah there's a din Tassel Menorah, then probably when you're making your Agad of the Lulav, it's also there's a din of Tassel Menorah. So my lab alchemy, so what's the machlokes? The man, the machshir sever, amrin and gabi sukkah kitzutzosan zuhi asiyosan. Just like by sukkah, like Rav holds, as long as you cut it at the end is good. So here too, the gabi lulav nami amrin lekitasu asiyosan. Even if I put the whole agad of the three minim together, and then I say, oh no, look at all these berries, cut them off now because this will be the asiya. It won't be possible because of Tas Vlaminosi. Uman the puzzle sub, the one that told his puzzle, he holds Loyamrin Gabi Sukitsisosan Zuyasiyasan, and therefore the Gabi Lulav Nami Loyamrin Likidosan Zuyasiyasan. And that's why the Pshimbay Yitzodik says that it's puzzle. So we see that the Machloik is Rav and Shmuel, in fact, the Machloik is Tanoi. Empty more light. Tikuli Alma Loyamrin Gabi Sukitsisosan Zuyasiyasan. Everybody agrees to Shmuel, not like Rav. And therefore we have a problem of Tas Vlaminosi by Sukkah. V'hocha, so what's the machlek is the gabi lulav, v'hocha v'neilav lulav misukah k'mivligi, man the mesher sova liyofin, and lulav misukah, he says, lulav l'chud and sukkah l'chud, I don't learn one from the other, I don't have a mesora of this mamatzino, and therefore, lulav, there is no such din of tasra l'minosi, man the pasas sova liyofin, and lulav misukah, no, I do learn one from the other, and I do learn lulav from sukkah. And therefore, there is a din of tasra l'minosi, and that's why it's possible. Therefore, you're saying the Israel on the lulav terach agad. If you hold that lulav requires agad, kuli amalei pliga delfina lulav misukah. Everybody would hold that you would learn lulav from sukkah. V'achavakim evligi ma'asov terach agad. One says you do need to make a bundle. Ma'asov ain't terach agad. Now, why would there be a machlekes? We'd look at Dani Tanoi. The same as the following Tanoi, the sign we learned in the Braisa. Lulav bein ogud bein she'ene ogud kosher. Say if the lulav is tied as a bundle, it's kosher. And say if it's not tied as a bundle, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ogud kosher she'enei ogud pasul, it's pasul. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Yalef lekich lekich me'agudas ezev. He learns egzeres shova. Me'agudas ezev. What's agudas ezev? Ksiv hasem lekachtem agudas ezev. What is this referring to? So Rashi says it's talking about by it, not Rashi, but the Torah Ora Sholim says that the Pasuk is talking about it by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ulakachtem agudas ezoiv, utvaltem adom asher basov, vigatem alamashke velshtei hamezuzos min adom. You have to go and put the blood on top of the lintel, on top of the doorpost, so that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is mavdil between the Bechayri Yisrael and the Bechayri Mitzrayim. So it says the lashon of lekicha agudas ezoiv, an aguda. Uksiv hocha, and here it says ulakachtem chem beyom rishon pri etzoder kapis tomorim, etc. So I learned lekicha, lekicha malalon baguda, just like over there the ezoiv, the hyssop, had to been tied together. Afkanami bagud, it has to be tied together. They don't have a mesora, they don't have a tradition of learning this clear. Anyway, Kiman Azahodisanya, who is the Tan of the following Braisa? Lulav, mitzvah le'oidai. There is a mitzvah to go and make a bundle in Loyogda, but if you didn't, it's kosher anyway. So Frey Timar, this Lachayr, doesn't go according to Rav Yehuda or the Rabban. Because Rav Yehuda, kili ogdo yamai kosher. Remember, Rav Yehuda said, ogid is kosher, she'enai ogid is posel. And here it says, mitzvah li'ogdoi, timlei ogdoi kosher. So you can't go according to Rav Yehuda. Elamai goes according to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said, bein ogid, bein she'enai ogid kosher, amai mitzvah. There's no mitzvah whatsoever. The Rabbanan don't learn lekicha, lekicha. There's no inyan whatsoever in making an agad. So why would it say in the Braisa that lechatchila it's a mitzvah? Nishka mitzvah? No, take it loosely. Everyone oilam rabbani, it does go contra rabbani. We have a general rule throughout the Torah that any time you're doing a mitzvah, always do it in the nicest possible form. Like Rashi says, that if you're going and buying tefillin, you're buying tzitzis, you're buying a sefer Torah, sukkah no, lulav no, tzitzis no, even though it's not required because of the mitzvah itself, but there's a general rule that overlays all mitzvahs and should always do it, b'derech no. And if you put together the hadassim and the rovis in a nice kosher together with the lulav, ah, it looks royal, it looks beautiful. If you're to go and hold them in your hand separately, eh, Tzotnish is over time, it doesn't look so nice, and that's why the mitzvah lechatchila li'oitai. Anyway, so we wanted to say that the machloikis between the Tuman the Yomrim before about the lulav, between Reb Shimon bar Yitzadik and Chacham, that's the same machloikis Rav and Shmuel. His wife says, no, you have no raya. Really, the machloikis is about something else. However, Rav will say, no, that is the machloikis. In fact, the mandiyama that holds, the chum machshirin, they hold like me. That tzitzas and zuyasi yasan, and that's why you can take the berries off later. And therefore, that's why the Gemara's kasha before was not a teal, it was only kasha. Because Rav says, I hold like the chumam of that braisa we just learned. Okay. Finishing off the Gemara, Zeaklal, it says the end of the Mishnah, Kol Dovish Mekabel Tumah, or it's not, doesn't grow from the ground, is possible. So, Gemara, how do I know Minon Emili? How do I know it has to be something which is not Mekabel Tumah, as well as Gidule Mina Oretz? Omri Shlokisha Makrot says the Pasuk be Eid Yale Mina Oretz. Now, the word the Eid is a Pasuk, of course, that goes back to Bereshis. The Eid, Pasuk means a mist, but here the Gemara is learning that the Eid is not just mist, it's coming from a cloud, which is in a sense down below, as we'll see in a moment. They yalim in arts. My Eid of Hashem Mekabel Tumah, just like the mists cannot be Mekabel Tumah. They gidulim in arts, it's coming from the ground. They yalim in arts, it's coming from the ground. Afsuk of Hashem Mekabel Tumah, gidulim in arts. So, Tumahani Chalaman Yam Anoni Kovid Hoyu. If you're going to go and tell me that, as we know, the reason why we sit in a sukkah today, we're going to have later on a masechta, a machloikis, what were the sukkahs of the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moshe was, gave us to live in when we left Mitzrayim. Machloikis, whether it was real sukkahs mamish, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu made and manufactured for all of us, individual sukkahs for all of our families, so we should be able to live in the Midbar, or it was Anani HaKovoid. We don't mean sukkahs in the traditional sense of a sukkah, but we mean that we had the protection of the anonym of the clouds overhead. Ah, so according to Mani Yom that holds that they were nani kovoy, then I understand why you bring a rai from the eid yalim and aretz. It's as if the mist is coming from the ground. It's as if the clouds are coming from the ground, meaning that the Kodesh Baruch Hu planted the clouds close to the ground to be protection. That being the case, that's how you learn that it's got to be a dovish in the kabbal tumik doom and aretz. But according to Maniyam, the sukkah is mamish osel hemaikalemu. What's the makoir that has to be dafki gdulam and aretz? The sign you learned in the Brisk, sukkah the Shabbat of Israel. Anoni covered how you divered lezer. These were anonym, the clouds of Kiva Oimer, sukkahs mamish osel, and they made a real sukkahs. Honeichel Reb Lezer, there was anani covered. I understand now why you're trying to bring a raya from the eid yalim and aretz, and it's got to be dovar, shigidulam and aretz. Ella, according to Rabbi Kiva, that it holds that it was talking about sukkahs mamish. So how do you know the sukkahs were made out of branches and out of bamboo sticks? Maybe it was made out of metal, maybe it was made out of some other material. Ma'ikul Meimer, who says that it grew from the ground? Forget about Eid Yalim and Aretz. Forget about Anani Kovid. I learned it from a brand new drasha. It says, Chagasukis Taklecha. Tasalcha, makish sukkah like chagiga, making a hekish of sukkah to chagiga, chagiga dovashin mekabel tumah. Chagiga mean again a carbon chagiga that a person brings for a carbon. That's a dovashin mekabel tumah. An animal cannot be mekabel tumah when it is alive. It can mekabel tumah when it's dead. In the sense, it in itself is a nevela, or even if it's kosher meat, it can be mekabel tumah tumas ochlin from someone or something which is tummy. But as long as it's alive, it doesn't mekabel tumah. So same thing, if you can do them in aretz, and animals grow from the ground. And you're thinking to yourself, an animal grows from the ground? Says Rashi, yes, because the animals eat from the ground. Kol gidul of minakarka. Minakarka gedalim. If they wouldn't go and eat the grass and the crops on the ground, then they wouldn't have an existence. They eat the barley from the ground, they eat the hay from the ground. Ah, so therefore, just like the animal that's the Karm Chagi is not Mekabel Tumah Gidulam in Aretz, I'm still going to be saying Mekabel Tumah Gidulam in Aretz. Right, Gemara, if that's the case, Imach Giga Balichayim, Afsukanami Balichayim. If that's the case, maybe you can only make Schach only from the live animals. Not that we're suggesting putting live animals on the top of the Sukkah, but maybe after you take the live animal and you shecht it, maybe take the skins and put the skins, the hides, make a leather Schach for the top of the sukkah. Maybe it has to be davka from Chagiga Balichayim. He says, you know what? Forget about the first drasha, the eight yalim and aretz. Forget about this chagiga. I have a new drasha. Be asbucha mi garncho umiik vecha. Bepsolas goren v'yekev akosamid daber. What means psolas goren v'yekev? Goren means the granary where you have the tvua that you're threshing and you are processing for purposes of making flour. Yekev is a place where you have, that's the wine press, where you take the anovim and you make them into wine. You take the grapes and make them into wine. Ah, some mipsoles from the fall off that you don't use in the granary. What don't you use in the granary? The hay, the stalks, the chaff. That you can use. Yekev also, what is the psolus there? The vines, the pieces of wood which are holding up the vines. Now those things you can go, in other words, the vines themselves, which are gedulim in aretz, they grow from the ground, and those you can use, the psolus garden v'yekev, those you can use for purposes of schach, and not anything else. So that's how I know it has to be gedulim in aretz. The Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, v'yimigurin atzmoy v'yekev atzmoy, but that in the Hashem we will continue on tomorrow. Any questions, Rabbi Say? Hearing none, I keep on saying tomorrow, I really mean tonight. Mi'atashem, we're going to have a follow-up shiur tonight on Daf Yud Beis, starting from...